Welcome to worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you know secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Though pride can become a comfortable retreat, indeed for a person of any stripe, Sirach assures us in the words of God that pride is not the best feeding condition or the lightest burden that any person might carry. A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. The beginning of man's pride is to depart from the Lord. His heart has forsaken his maker. For the beginning of pride is sin, and the man who clings to it pours out abominations. Therefore the Lord brought upon them extraordinary afflictions and destroyed them utterly. The Lord has cast down the thrones of rulers and has seated the lowly in their place. The Lord has plucked up the roots of all nations and has planted the humble in their place. The Lord has overthrown the lands of the nations and has destroyed them to the foundations of the earth. He has removed some of them and destroyed them and has extinguished the memory of them from the earth. Pride was not created for men, nor fierce anger for those born of women. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 112, found on page 4 of the bulletin. Let us read responsibly at the asterisk. Hallelujah. Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright, and the righteous are merciful and full of compassion. It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice, for they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is right. They put their trust in the Lord. Their heart is established and will not shrink till they see their desire upon the enemies. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish. Never ends and is unconditional. It is reflected in human relationships through marriage and sacrificial giving. Practicing this love is the way of sanctification. Reading from the book of Hebrews for the second lesson. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God would judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Just before I read it, I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. We heard in the earlier readings a bit about pride and its opposite, humility. Some of you may have heard this, but there was a local church, I don't believe it was Advent, who that had a man in the church who was very, very humble, and they voted him the most humble man in the congregation. They gave him a medal, but then he wore it, so they had to take it away. Oh, thank you very much. Reading from Luke 14, verse 1, and then 7 through 14. So if you see someone with two pin marks right here, it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And this is, of course, Jesus. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table and saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you're invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You will find in your bulletin a handout that describes senior care home visitation, going to nursing homes to visit people who are residents. Some of you obviously are already doing that, but if you'd be interested in getting care, this is from Bill Goodrich, whom I've talked about. To me, it's the best training in the region that's available. And if you might think, I'm too old for that. My mom did it until she was 88. So if you're not 88 yet, you might have a few months left to go and serve. But just consider that. This morning I want to speak out of Hebrews 13, one of the lessons that Lewis read from verses 5 and 6. This is from the English Standard Version. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And my concept of looking at this is thinking of it as a CPR teaching. CPR is something you give someone when they're in crisis and you want to respond quickly. And so the CPR here, there are three aspects to the passage. Command, promise, and response. The command is keep your life free from the love of money and be content. And the promise is I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the response is, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What can I fear? What do I fear? So that's the core of what I want to speak about. Now I want to expand it just a bit. First, the idea of the command, keep your life free from money, from the love of money, not free from money, but from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Pardon me. When Tammy and I were first married, I was in seminary. We were grateful for any furniture that we had. My dad built a bookcase. We found wooden crates that we used. We had, as well, hand-me-down furniture. The only thing that we had new was a bed that was a wedding gift. And in those days, I had a great desk. Well, it was actually a card table. But it served, and we were content. We loved being together. We loved the simplicity of what it meant to get started. I don't have that same desk. I don't have that same bookcase, not even the wooden crates. Over time, you tend to accumulate, and you want to upgrade a little bit. And the lesson is, pardon me again, the lesson is teaching that you don't want to be so wrapped up in what you have that becomes your focus and your burden, but instead to be content with what you have. And I had an experience, this was just yesterday. My brother and I, you know, have been living together since the 1st of May, and the house is really quite comfortable. We cleared out the garage yesterday. I should say more accurately, my brother did. I told him I was working on today's message. And one of the things that I gave away was Tammy had somewhere between 300 and 400 cat's meows, which are little balsa representations of houses and buildings from different places that we've traveled in the U.S. I called them kindling. But so we gave those away, made space in the garage. And a part of it that has been so significant for me in these months is learning that who I am is not wrapped up in what I have, what I own, or what I'm responsible for. Who I am is wrapped up in myself and who I am as God has created me. And that's a huge thing, to be content with who I am and what I currently have versus what I don't have. God is teaching us, I believe, that the only place for trust is in Him. If I trust in my stuff, they will deteriorate. Or if you turn your back, your brother will give it away. So it's important to trust in who you are in God. Our tendency is to put our trust often in things, in money, rather than in the one who created us. Remembering the example of the manna in the desert, when the Israelites had just come out from Egypt, God offered to provide for them manna every morning, the food that they would need for that day. And the irony in the story is that some of the Israelites would go and gather just a little bit extra so they'd have enough for tomorrow in case God was busy or forgot. And overnight that manna rotted. And the point was that God will provide for your needs. Just trust Him in that. You don't need to provide for tomorrow or the next week or the next year beyond what God has provided for today. And the Bible shares several instances of why that's important for us. There's a story of a man who built several barns because he had so much grain that he didn't know where to put it. And then he was told, you've prepared for that, but now your soul is required of you. And so all of that didn't mean anything. I was reading in the book of Acts, I believe it's in chapters 5 and 6, where the early Christians were giving everything that they had to care for one another. If you owned property, it was given away, it was sold, and the money was given to the community to care for those who didn't have enough. And there was one couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who had a plot of land. They sold it, but they thought, like the Israelites in the desert, we'll just keep a little for ourselves, which is fine. It was their money. But they told Peter and the other apostles that what they got for the land is what they were giving to the common ministry. And Peter had a word of knowledge that said, no, you're lying. And as a result, Ananias was struck dead, and 3 hours later, so was his wife, when she repeated the same deception. There was nothing wrong at all with keeping a little for themselves, but in that moment, what was important was candor, the truth, and they deceived God's representative in that time. That's a powerful reminder that what we have is on loan. We're stewards of what we have, and it's not who we are. Who we am is not wrapped up in the things that you and I have. I was reading this past week about storage facilities in the U.S. There are over 32,000 storage facilities in the U.S. The concept being, I don't have enough room in my house, so I have to have other storage facilities to keep all of my excess stuff. It's over 1.3 billion square feet. That's a lot of stuff. And so the question is all of that important to me to have? Or am I better off with less, with a more simplistic lifestyle? That's something that's important to ask each of us. I read also this week that someone asked John Rockefeller, how much was enough? And his response was, just a little bit more. And sometimes that's how we look at it. I love technology. I love apps on my iPad and my phone. And I was just checking this morning, how much more storage space do I have in my phone? Can I load a couple more apps that I find interesting? We tend to accumulate. And this word is saying, don't base your life on what you accumulate. Be content with what you have and base your life on the Lord. I found, I didn't read all of them, but I found that there were over 2,300 verses about material and possessions in the Bible. It's the number one topic. So it must be important to the Lord that we understand we are not what we own. What is important is whose are we, not what we have. One of the verses that to me will be significant, for me anyway, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So that's so important. Just thinking about that. So the first concept is the command to keep your life free from the love of money. My brother-in-law, Tammy's brother, died yesterday. He was in his home. He was on a ladder making a little repair in the house. And his son was there, one of his sons, and saw that he looked kind of odd. Are you okay, Dad? And Jay said, no. Got down from the ladder and immediately fell on the floor and died. No resuscitation. And a part of what I was talking with his daughter, Amy, about this, it's a Christian family, which is wonderful, but he had no time to make things right. He had no time to say to his boy, I love you. Would you please forgive me for that time when? There was no time for anything. Jay could make anything with his hands. He was very much like my dad. He didn't have time to make anything right with anyone because it was written in God's book that that was his moment to die. And so it's important that we place our priorities where they are. Don't get caught in the love of money. Be content with what you have. And then the second part, the promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. No matter what you walk through, God's promise, the promise after the command to let go of stuff is, wherever you go, I will be with you. I will never turn my back on you. I'm sure with other people, you've had this relationship. You come to a point of conflict and you do this. You turn away. But Scripture says God will never turn his back on you. He will always be with you as you trust in him. There's a passage in Psalm 118:6 that is very similar to this. It says, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? To me, that's so important, that promise. I was reading in, actually, this morning about Abdu, who was a young Christian in Syria. This was through the Voice of Martyrs. And he was kidnapped by ISIS terrorists and taken to a place where they were going to kill him after they got a ransom from his family, and his family had nothing. At the last moment, the ones who were going to kill him by a riverbed left the place. He thought he was going to be shot or have his head cut off. Instead, they drove away. By God's grace, with his dad, they were able to escape Syria into another country, and there they were ministered to by another church. Abdu lost absolutely everything he and his dad did. No business, no possessions. All they left with was themselves. And so the promise of the Lord, I will never leave you or forsake you, it didn't matter so much to him, any possession that he left behind. He left with his dad and with their lives, and that was all that mattered. So the concept is place your hope solely on God, not in possessions, not in investments, and you'll discover true life. There's freedom in understanding that when you leave the church this morning, that no matter what you face, God will never leave you or forsake you. You are in his hands. So think CPR. The command is don't love possessions. Be content with what you have. The promise is I'll never leave you or forsake you. And our response then is, which is the R, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God says, do this. I will always be there, so that you can now say, I don't have to fear. God will always be in my life. You obey God's command by believing his promise. That puts you in a place where you can confess the truth, that you have no fear, that even when something as challenging as Jay's death comes into our lives, we can deal with it. So Amy, who is really the key to that family, her mom had a stroke several weeks ago, and she had a part of, I'm going to tell you the details because it's significant. She had a portion of her skull bone removed to deal with the stroke. And on Tuesday, Vicky is having a replacement put in that place where they took out skull bone. Vicky will not know about her husband's death. Amy said they will wait until after the surgery. So she will now face her recovery by herself. Vicky is also a child of God. Sometimes we cannot prepare for what happens by ourselves. We need to know that we have security that is not based in our wisdom, in our ability, in our stuff, but in the God who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And to me, that's the secret of this CPR, the command, the promise, and the response, that it breathes peace into our lives. Even in turmoil, we have that peace that Jesus says it passes all human understanding. That's who we are as believers. Now, just this one closing verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Some of you will be able to repeat it with me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Doesn't say at all, give thanks for everything. The Manning family is not saying thank you for the stress that they are going through right now. But we can give thanks in everything, knowing that God never leaves or forsakes us. So I encourage you to focus on that for yourself, understanding that what it means to be a child of God is that there is no circumstance beyond which God will not be present in your life. So as we continue our service now, let's stand and share together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are on page 6 in your bulletin. Let's pray together. In peace, we pray to you, O Lord. We pray for all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
We pray for this community, the nation, and the world. And Lord, we especially lift up this morning our country. We pray for peace. We pray for civility. We pray for grace and love one to another. And we pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
Lord, we especially lift up this morning those in the Bahamas, those on the mainland of the United States that may be impacted by Hurricane Dorian. Lord, we pray that you quiet that storm and you be present with those who are suffering already and who are yet to suffer. Be with them, as Paul mentioned in his sermon. We pray for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
Lord, we lift up those in Texas this morning, the 24 who were shot and the 5 who've died and the families left behind. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for recovery. We pray for peace. We pray for compassion. We give thanks for the first responders. We thank you, Lord, for being present in these adversities. We pray for the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
We pray for Archbishop Welby, for our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul.
Serve God and his church.
We pray for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. And finally, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Share that now with one another. Thank you.
Good morning. So let's start with a reminder of the Book of Revelation Bible study that will start on Sunday the 15th. That's 2 weeks from today. We're starting it on the 15th because next Sunday, Pete, are you going to talk about next Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. So next Sunday, Pete will tell us about.
Before I start, Paul, have you been talking to my wife about me getting rid of our storage unit? It's stuff from my parents' house when my father finally passed away. So now I have to get rid of it. I've been trying to send it down to Florida, but I've had no success. Okay. Gentlemen of Advent, we are going to gather again on September 10th. That is a Tuesday night. The reason Tuesday is so that we can go to Bubba's Barbecue in Avon. They are not open on Mondays, but they are open on Tuesdays. And I've been trying to go there for I don't know how long, so this is the opportunity for Tuesday the 10th of September at 6:30. It's on Route 83, which is Center Road in Avon. And easy to get to, it's right off of 90 going north, or if you're coming from the south, it's from Walker Road. Secondly, as Dick mentioned, next Sunday we're having a church breakfast. It's at 9 o'clock. All sorts of good things. There's scrambled eggs. There is sausage patties. There are hash brown patties. I'm getting it right this time. And French toast. You are all invited. There is no charge for this. We're doing this out of the goodness of our black little hearts. So come one and all, we all want you to enjoy it. Bring your friends, bring your relatives, the more the merrier. So we'll have this and be done at the time so that the 8 o'clockers can still have their 8 o'clock service and then come to breakfast with the rest of us at 9. Beyond that, that's all I gotta say, because the golf outing requests are closed off. I got a good slate.
Good.
Now, Bun, you and Kay had better be on your A game. Because the reputation of the church and our trophy, which was donated to me and I've now paid for, is on you. Because Bruce and I and Scott and Jerry maybe, of course, Jerry plays boring golf, so he could possibly win it. You guys have got to win the trophy. And I know Kay is an exceptionally good golfer at Westwood. So, having said that.
So the rest of the story that Bruce, that Pete is not saying is that this game is rigged. I don't know who's going to win, but rumor has it who's not going to win. So each of us are going through issues in our lives. Paul's sermon this morning spoke to me. Those passages from that he mentioned from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, reminds me of some others that are near and dear to my heart that precede that one that he read. Be joyful always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. It is so tough to be joyful always, to pray continuously, and to give thanks in all circumstances. But those are commands. So I can choose to honor those commands, or I can choose to mistrust. There'll be someone to pray with you and back during communion. Peace be with you.
In a moment, pardon me, we're going to do anniversaries and birthdays, but with Peter's announcement about next Sunday, I will need to bring out my, for the 8 o'clock service, I'll need to bring out my Fruit of the Loom sermon. You know, brief. Thank you. So how about September birthdays? With first of the month, anyone here today? Anyone else? All right. Why don't we go over to Gus?
Sure.
That's good, right here.
I'm going to represent my family because it seems that everything happened in September. I have a son who's going to be 60, Michael. It's going to be on the 8th, it's his birthday. I have two grandsons who are going to be 20 and 22 on the 6th of September. I have a son-in-law in Nebraska who's going to be 55 on the 24th of September. Is that enough?
Sounds like a gift card month to me. Dick?
And I'm here for a family member. Linda's birthday is September 6th.
So let's pray for these family members. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask your blessing on these folks, that they would experience your presence in a deeper way this year, that you would guard and keep them by your Holy Spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. What about anniversaries this month? Well,
I've got one more. On the 6th, it will be 61 years that I was married to Julie.
That's wonderful. Anyone else have an anniversary this month that is here? Heavenly Father, I pray for Gus as he remembers the years, the decades of his marriage, O Lord, that you would give him peace as well as gratefulness for what has been as he looks back, and then also grace to look forward to what you have for him for this next season of his life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd also like to add to our prayer list this morning and ask you to turn to the back page of the bulletin, and let's lift up in prayer those on Advent's prayer list. Lord God, we pray for health and recovery for Ed and Lillian, for Mary Lou, for Bob, for Irv and Barb, for Michael, for Bill and Judy, for Marilyn, for Karen and Lois, for Sharon, for Steve and Richard, struggling with pancreatic cancer. Pray for Joan, for Velta, for Rose, for Art, for George, for Dave, and all recovering from strokes. We pray for Tony, for Bishop Little and Sylvia, for Trevor, for Ken and Jim, and for the Eliza Jennings residents. Lord, we pray for spiritual healing, for physical healing, for emotional healing, for your provision, for sustaining these servants and saints. Lord, we pray in intercession for them, that you will hear our prayers, you will honor those prayers, and in your way, you will answer those prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Life at times is joyful, and at other times just so challenging. And all of that is a part of our life together as we honor the Lord and walk toward our eternal destiny. Let's now take a moment as we prepare for the Lord's Supper to present our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of the light and source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us eat and feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are given for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive.
join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now that peace that passes all human understanding, guard and keep you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Folks, with joy, depart in peace and serve the Lord.